Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Eric Kratz, friend of the show, catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers.
You're doing the impossible. You guys are, I wouldn't want to say getting Chicago behind you, but a certain number of people, you know, guys saying, okay, they're in the division and they beat us in game 163. But this catcher is likable and this team plays damn hard and we're familiar with them. So, okay, we're on board, I guess.
We're rooting for you.
Who's the we? Because you said that, but I didn't hear Parkins say it.
No, he's there.
Listen, Kratz.
Let's hear it again.
Kratz, you know I've always been a huge fan of your work and your generosity with your time and your sense of humor. And you've been a great friend of the show over the years. I've known Craig Counsell for a long time. Lorenzo Cain is a stand-up guy. Go Brewers.
You're in. I love it. I love it.
Well, I hope you like this, Kratzy. This is not a recent song, but one many people know. Most people know this song by the Association. Danny, you even know this song.
I haven't heard the song. This is a Mac creation. You moved him so much in our last visit that Mac made a song for you. So we're going to listen to this together.
Man.
It's brief.
I want to hear it.
Who's driving down the streets of Milwaukee, waving to everybody he sees? Who's yearning for another World Series? Everyone knows he's Kratzy.
Oh, man, that is, I think it's going to win a Tony. I think it's going to win an Emmy. And maybe some type of, like, MTV 2 Music Award, not MTV 1.
You got to see the show. What a performer.
Who should get it to the Brewers for your walk-up in Game 1?
I will check.
Go be NLCS MVP, all right?
All right, deal. That's a, that works.
That's Eric Kratz with us, McNeil and Parkins. That was pretty good.
Pretty good.
Everyone knows he's Kratzy.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Now we just need a reason to root in the ALCS. Yeah. Like we got one in the NLCS.
Oh, I got one in the ALCS as well. We don't have a connection on the team. Nobody, there's no baseball Yurko on the Red Sox, but I'm rooting for the Red Sox. I'll tell you why.
I mean, I am too, because Shep doesn't have him in his bet. That's why I'm rooting
for him. That's a big part of, you know, although people would assume that I have already not seen him in a Speedo. Maybe I have. Nobody knows that for sure.
I mean, but it's not about really me wanting to see him in the Speedo. It's just him wanting to be embarrassed in the Speedo is what I'm kind of into.
Gotcha. I just the idea of celebrating Boston for the next several weeks with you and with Tanny would appeal to me. And since I feel this way about it, if Jimmy Fallon was given permission to go on the field during the World Series right after the Red Sox won in 0-4, well, it was their first one, I believe, when he made that film.
Fever Pitch, yeah.
Yeah. Why not get Mark Wahlberg and the crew for Ted 3 together and get Ted on the field for a Red Sox World Championship in 2018.
I've heard worse ideas. like, what do you think of that?
Sure.
I like it a lot.
And there's a history. You recall at the end of Ted 1, the almost very sad part of Ted 1.
Yes.
Giovanni Ribisi's character climbed up the pole, the light extension, to get Ted down, and we didn't think Ted was going to survive. Yeah,
he was
stuffing all over left field.
They had to sew him back together. Spoiler
didn't think
alert.
He was going to live. Thought he was dead.
I know.
And then we thought he was.
And I didn't even think that a teddy bear could live until I saw Ted. So my mind was blown. You could bring him back to life. It was so confusing.
I want Ted 3 in the worst way. And there's been a lot of discussion that it's going to happen. Well, that's the perfect opportunity to do it.
Okay.
Get Seth MacFarlane on the phone. Get him on that.
Can they? I mean, it takes a long time to make a movie. Do you think like this idea could get to them in time for the World Series in Boston?
I think if Ted 3 were a serious consideration, it's something screenwriters, producers, actors, even in the case of Wahlberg, who seems to be invested in the Ted franchise. At least that's my take on it.
It's been great to him.
I want to believe that.
I want to believe it too.
I'm going to speak it into existence.
So, that's an interesting thought. Who cares more about Ted? You and me? Or Mark Wahlberg? Like, I'd like to believe he's as invested in it as we are.
You could come up with, you know, you could come up with 6.5 minutes for the film. On just short notice, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, and it's not going to be perfect anyway, because you're not going to have, if you're going to do something similar, you're not going to have a chance to redo it. If it's regarding a celebration.
No, you get one take.
It doesn't have to be regarding a celebration. It could be Ted taking crap from fans, you know, when he's sitting behind a monster. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, there's the possibilities are endless.
They really are.
We've put more thought into Ted 3, seemingly, than Seth MacFarlane has put into Ted 3. Even though you can Google Ted 3 and they're like, yeah, we're into it. We're on board. Like they speak highly of it, but like Rounders 2, they've been talking about it for a long ass time. Like let's go while we're young, while I'm still an idiot and a stoner and caring about Ted 3. I want it now.
Yeah, yeah. I want it now, and I think it ought to be now. I think it's the perfect time for it.
You think society needs a Ted 3?
I think we're ready for Ted 3. Yeah,
I do too. That's a good point.
I thought the first time I saw Ted, I thought this is going to be an absolute disaster. I am going to hate this. And I was freshly in treatment too. I was only 4 weeks removed from the evil weed.
Oh,
so I'm thinking that's going to really make it more fun, you know?
Because that opening scene then with the teddy bear smoking the bong had to have been tough for you.
Yeah, I was taking myself to a different place. You know,
right,
pretending.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
the hypothetical.
Think real hard, and that popcorn will smell like sweet ganj.
I've seen Fever Pitch a couple of times. I had no idea that was actually Jimmy Fallon on the field. I thought that was all green screened or produced up. I did not know that was real.
No, man, it happened.
Can you think of someone you'd be less desirable of having around your celebration than Jimmy Fallon?
I don't know how they feel about him in Boston, but if you feel about him that way here, maybe there are a lot of people out that way who think that way, because we don't like our face guys in this town either. We don't like Jim Belushi and John Cusack as the faces of Chicago sports.
So, yep, the Boston Red Sox finally win the championship that they can't win, and here's Jimmy Fallon to jump all over the celebration and find every camera and not be able to hold in a laugh and whatever else.
Who would you have favored?
No one. I would have liked to see my team dancing around celebrating by themselves, not filming a movie.
You didn't like Bill Murray in the midst of all the Cubs celebration?
No. Bill Murray hasn't been funny in 30 years.
Oh, you bite your tongue.
Oh, Shep.
God, he just waves the flag of ignorance around so proudly.
St. Vincent, just 4 years ago.
Brilliant.
Should have been an Oscar nominee.
100%.
I think it's his best dramatic work. And I was a fan of Lost in Translation also.
Yeah. I mean, I think St. Vincent is incredible. I was thrilled to see it on your top 100 list, and I'd have it probably even higher than you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Tugs at the heartstrings.
It does. Melissa McCarthy can do more than defecate in a sink.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not just a comedy, to Shep's point. It's not, you know, old school heyday, but Bill Murray, I mean, everything that guy does is kind of fun and funny. Like, his whole life is a movie set. He's just going around making people's day, being Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool that he bought, like, the lady the ticket to game 6 or game 7, whichever it was, for the World Series. It was, like, cool story of that, but it's like, I don't really, Bill Murray hasn't done anything memorable in my lifetime. Like, Caddyshack.
We just gave you two recent examples, man.
Like I said, Bill Murray has done nothing memorable in my lifetime.
Have you seen St. Vincent?
No. Don't need to.
You're going
to see it. I saw Groundhog Day. I'm out. Done.
He's 32 years old.
Don't need to see it.
He's Bors.
He's Bors.
He's got opinions on movies before he sees them. That's
saw the previews. Don't need
it. That's Terry Bors.
Like, if that's the best, I don't want to see the worst of the film.
Yeah, just,
I'm telling you, he waves around the flag of ignorance proudly.
Bors and I argued about a movie for 10 minutes. What was the movie Timothy Robbins made with Sean Penn that won an Oscar? Sean Penn's daughter had been murdered. You know what I'm talking
about. But Nothing to Lose with Martin Lawrence. That was my favorite non-Shawshank Tim Robbins role,
but anyway,
personally.
It won the Oscars.
Was that Mystic River?
Yes.
Yeah, there
Thank you.
Go.
Yeah, and Terry argued about, hated it, and just, and I didn't get into specifics, just this and that. And then 10 minutes into it, he says he hasn't seen it. But it's Tim Robbins is in it, so it has to be horrible.
I can't think of anything more Terry than that.
That's my boy.
I mean, it's great.
It's got Tim Robbins in it. I don't like his political stances. Well, that has nothing to do with Mystic River.
But I mean, did Terry like do that with other things? Like, did he have opinions on Bears games that he didn't see or Bulls games that he didn't see?
Oh, you heard the show.
Yeah, right. Anything like that. Like, yeah. I kind of respect it in a way.
Yeah. If you're not on the end with Boers, you're out. So it doesn't matter what you do. He wasn't the type, at least when I was with him in the 90s, to give much a fighting chance if he went into it with the idea predetermined that you were garbage.
I've just never heard anyone with an anti-Bill Murray stance. Like, I thought that he had a 100% approval rating. Like, who
I thought it was very high also.
like yeah. If you would have done, like, who has the highest approval ratings in anything?
Vince Vaughn? Okay, I get that. Some people don't like his dramatic work, and he seems to be pouring it on the last few years, and no one wants it. You're right.
Yeah.
But Bill Murray is universally liked.
Yeah, and I don't know who's got a higher approval rating than Bill Murray in any sort of pop culture realm, actually.
Like, Bill Murray kind of feels like Adam Sandler before Adam Sandler to me. In that you look early on in his career, look
this
at this
guy over here.
Like, you look early on in his career,
Stop
you have
talking.
Ghostbusters, you have
Sit
that's
this
classic.
One out, kid.
You have obviously Caddyshack. He was phenomenal in.
Oh, you're giving him Caddyshack.
You're giving him.
Then you get to like the 90s.
Ghostbusters too. You're to give him Stripes.
Stripes, you can have. That's good. Yes.
Wow. How
but
generous
then you,
of you.
But then you get to like Groundhog Day. One
how
of the
about
most overrated
what about
movies
Bob with Richard
time.
Dreyfuss? Come on,
it has
Shep.
Richard Dreyfuss in it, so I want to punch Richard Dreyfuss in the face.
Oh God!
What about Kingpin? What about Kingpin?
Kingpin, I give you. Kingpin's great.
Okay, good.
You're okay with Ernie McCracken, huh?
Yes.
Love Kingpin.
But God forbid he do something soulful like St. Vincent. Ernie McCracken wins out over St. Vincent.
Sometimes you got to know your role, man.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and Big Earn's already there. Those kids in the orphanage video.
I love that. He's got setting up franchises.
Yeah.
Wash off the perfume before you come back to our table.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Didn't we have a chance to talk to Bill Murray a few months ago, but we passed because he wanted to bring a bagpipes guy in?
What?
Yeah.
There's not a scenario or a condition that Bill Murray could attach to an interview that I would pass
Bill
on.
Bill Murray was opening a restaurant. We tried to get him on through that, and they declined.
Yeah.
I think that was the story. I don't remember any bagpipes.
No, Mitch had an in. I talked with Mitch. I said, you know, to get Bill Murray on, yes, we'll take the bagpipe guy, but I'd rather do it. I don't know if it died before it ever started. Oh, you're mad you weren't involved
in this
discussion.
This wasn't brought to me.
It died on the vine.
I thought you knew everything about this show.
I don't know everything about this show. And oh, here's Mitch Rosen to weigh in. Do you have a Bill Murray in that you're either not sharing with us, or did you deny us Bill Murray? What happened?
He was in town for a one-man play, and they would bring the musician in. Mac was right, and then it fell apart. But he was going to come in with an accordion player or a bagpiper.
And we said no?
No. It fell apart on their end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because okay. I never heard from him after I finally reluctantly said yes.
Reluctantly said
yes? Yeah, so I don't have, because he was going to give, if the bagpipes guy was going to be, you know.
That's fine.
For most of the interview.
He could yodel.
Be more entertaining than Bill Murray.
Well, like I said, I did it. I said, yeah. Do you know what? Take a lap, all right?
Joel Murray is a big fan of the station.
Well, I know, and I had Joel on at the Joe Madden golf outing the year before, and it's hard to interview Joel without asking him about Bill. So I would talk to Joel every day if it got us Bill.
Bill has a sister that's a nun. Would you talk to her?
If she had good Bill Murray stories, yeah, I would. Yes, I
good.
Okay. Shep can take the day off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I've not heard that stance. That's
just an
that's
unbelievable
different. That is really different.
I'd rather talk to his nun sister than talk to him.
Okay. Right. This hour
I'm just
going to
sit
score.
There and like be his character that's not funny, making faces and...
His character that is not funny?
Correct.
What are you talking
Shep,
about?
Shep, do you have a DVD player hooked up in Arlington Heights?
I do.
Okay.
It's a PlayStation
All right.
Two, I think.
I'll bring in St. Vincent tomorrow. Watch it over the weekend, all right?
It's above him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen to these takes on Bill Murray.
I know. I want him
I'm getting
to
a lot
it.
Of support on the text line.
No, you're not.
Way. Yes, I am.
Turn Shep's mic off. Is that support? Cut Shep.
John Strawman.
I'm with Shep.
Great opinion.
I'm with Shep. Bill Murray sucks.
There is one. Yes, you have a friend.
Parkins, are you high? So many people hate Bill Murray, and I think it went up because of the Cubs thing. And that's got to be from a Sox fan who's jealous. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Who did
go, Shep, go. I'm with you.
This hour on the Shep score, by the way, brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. You got a number for Bill Murray?
Oh, that's Mitch's black book. Yeah.
With a number for Bill Murray.
And some 70s adult film stars.
Yeah, there's a 0% chance that number is still operational.
Is Seika still in there?
Where?
Seika. Let's, is she still with us? Yes.
Can we have that book for today's show?
Seika's still alive? Today'd be a good day for it. Let's call Seika.
Let's just call
adult
random
film
numbers.
Star of the 70s.
That's fine. Let's just call random numbers from Mitch's black book, and we'll try to book one an hour. Oh, excellent. Oh, wow. This book is insane.
Yeah.
This looks like a beautiful mind for a sports producer with just stains all over it.
Hold it up for me.
Yeah. Oh, Charlie Rose. Okay, we're gonna flip to a random page, and we're going to all vote as a show and an audience, and we're going to just try to book that person from that page. You guys in?
Yeah, that would be fine with me.
Okay.
And, you know, you could just play the area code game with Mitch as we go through his numbers. He's very proud of knowing almost every area code in the country of every major market.
Is there
city
any
proper.
Rhyme or reason to this, by the way? It's just Jim Woods. Oh, my God. Carl Weathers. We're getting Carl Weathers.
Is James Woods' number in there?
He's got James Woods' number.
Circa 1988, Eddie Schwartz at WGN. No computers for you young folk. And it was a black book.
He's in the Milton Berle Club.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
James Woods noted. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who else recently came up in conversation in a pre-show meeting?
Who had a big penis? It could have been anybody.
Sal Thompson.
He was cool.
Danny?
Tripodish, but had a huge problem with actually saying what it was. It says, ass Mike Brady. I assume that means assistant. This is going to be great. We're going to book people off of this for the whole show. If any of these numbers, what's the most recent number in here, Mitch?
I once called Angie Dickinson a couple years ago to test out the number, and it was still, hello?
And it was still
Ms. Dickinson? Yes. Just checking the number.
Okay. We're in.
Do you know who she is, Danny?
I've heard of her, yeah.
Shep?
She's been through some athletes.
Okay. Perfect.
They've been through her.
We start calling numbers next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jimmy Butler looks so ugly, bruh. Looked like a face you put on a totem pole, bruh. Looking like a tiki mask, bruh.
Jimmy Butler in the news in a big way, and there's a huge update on it from Adrian Wojnarowski. We'll get to that in just a second.
Who was that?
That was Jimmy Butler.
That was Jimmy Butler.
Reading a mean tweet on Kimmel.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. Finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. We have Mitch Rosen's black book.
Mm-hmm.
Most recent number in there, probably from 1994.
Back when he was producing like no other.
That's right.
I've never met a program director who wasn't the greatest program or producer ever.
Well, you could use some organizational skills on that black book. There was no rhyme or reason to what was in there.
Look, that black book's got 500,000 miles on it.
I'm sure it does, and a lot of stains.
You'll get that over time.
Of course. So here's the Jimmy Butler update, and then we're going to call John Goodman live on the air. All-star Jimmy Butler participated in Minnesota's practice, a session that included him verbally challenging teammates, coaches, and front office, and the front office, league sources told ESPN. Butler was vociferous and emotional at times, targeting Thibodeau, Layden, who's their general manager, Towns, and Wiggins. At one point in a scrimmage, sources said, Butler turned to GM Scott Layden and screamed, quote, "You bleeping need me. You can't win without me," end quote. Butler left teammates and coaches largely speechless. He dominated the gym in every way. Jimmy's back. That is Jimmy Butler, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. So, yeah, that's what you get with Jimmy Butler.
He's difficult to like.
Yeah.
He really is.
Screaming at his
and
GM.
What you said with Dan and Connor an hour and change ago is probably right. He's going to have people line up to pay him a lot of money. But when you do things like that, there will be fewer. So, I mean, someone's going to overpay for him.
Sure. Yeah. I think both can be true, right? He could be a great player who's going to get paid in free agency, but is
ahead. That will turn some people off.
Sure. And less people will be interested in it because of that. And you can have an overinflated ego and sense of self and still be great, right?
Yes, no question.
Both things can be true. So
how are we doing on John Goodman?
I don't know. I'm looking at Shep. Are we gonna what's the plan here, Shep?
I can call him from this phone. I can call the number that Mitch has here from probably maybe 1994. We're guessing.
Yeah.
And so this is John Goodman fresh off the Babe movie.
Okay, this is John Goodman's
best work, say, I've always said.
I know Parkins wants to go Big Lebowski,
so give him a
with
call
him.
On the air, and yeah, we'll see what happens from there based off of this number from 25 years ago.
Yeah, I want to talk Walter. You want to talk?
I'm a huge fan of his role in Everybody's All-American 1988 with Dennis Quaid and Jessica Lange. Timothy Hutton. Fabulous, fabulous. Football/human condition movie.
Okay, let's call John Goodman live on the air then.
Argo also will be Argo yourself.
Yep, fantastic. He also was in Tremé, which was made by David Simon, the creator of The Wire. So I'd love to talk to him about what it'd be like to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get John Goodman on the line. I told you the other day, one of my all-time favorite actors.
Yeah, which you would like Everybody's All-American. It's the story of former LSU All-American Billy Cannon, who later went on to have a great NFL career, but couldn't find much use for life after his career, and his marriage fell apart, and it's a really good film. You'd like that.
Okay. We dialing? Are you gonna pick him up off air, or are we gonna do this?
I think you got to do it off the air.
Well, no, as long as we tell him, hey, right, Mr. Right. Goodman, you're on the radio right now. You know, he probably won't like it.
Yeah, give him a real quick warning. I'll call right now. Tanny will punch it up as soon as I dial the digits.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, John Goodman. Here we go. Let's do this from Mitch's Black Book, circa 1994. Fantastic actor, Anaconda.
The number you have reached is not in service. This is a recording.
Darn it!
The number you have reached is not in service.
The Ameritech customer you were trying to reach.
Goodman. We've been foiled again. Okay.
Should I leave it up?
No. We're good now.
Okay.
We're good.
Thanks. Knucklehead, get it off.
Hey, thanks, Tanny. Appreciate you.
He's pushing me. My buttons.
All right, well, Chef, I picked that number. You want to pick the next one?
Okay, yeah, I can. I will. Oh, guess what we just found? We found Les Grobstein's beeper number. Think Grobber still has that thing working?
Yes.
It ends in an 8-3.
No way.
83.
Oh, man. Okay. That is special. Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball return to the new Welsh Ryan Arena November 2nd. Season tickets on sale at nusports.com. Well, Shep, you pick out the next number whenever you want, and we'll get back to Mitch's Black Book.
On Friday's show, we are going to have the opportunity for a conversation with Blackhawks captain Jonathan Toews.
I know.
That's cool.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, you won't find that name in Mitch's book, but
far too recent.
Very exciting. The Hawks 2-1, all three games, overtime games. They are at Minnesota tomorrow night. Now, I've had them on twice, but have not watched like you need to watch a hockey game. They've been on while something else was on a bigger screen and was getting my attention in terms of the volume. So we'll get a chance against Minnesota tomorrow night when they take on Bruce Boudreau, Zach Parise, Seiko Koivu, and all of the Minnesota Wild. Devin Dubnyk between the pipes. Doobie.
I'm excited to talk to Toews for the obvious reasons about how much quicker he's looked and best start. He's never had 6 points through three games to start a season in his career, 5 goals and assist. He looks faster, all of those sort of things, like all the obvious points. But also for the team,
mm-hmm.
they have doubters for the first time.
One of the first things we're going to talk to them about.
Like, is it a collective rallying cry? Do they disagree? Like, do they still internally consider themselves the favorites?
Right.
Like,
consider your window closed.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Captain Sirius?
Yeah. How do you handle a weird lack of expectations surrounding the Blackhawks right now?
Sure.
And himself. Like, when do you think the last time Jonathan Toews was dismissed or doubted for his hockey ability?
Much of last year.
Well sure, but
yes.
I mean
that was the first time in his career he's taken it. And from the most ardent Toews fans as well.
Yeah. And so I wonder what that headspace has been like for him, because at the beginning of last season, and you said it right, you said most of last year, at the beginning of last season, there was a lot of optimism that the year before had been the aberration.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was worse last year than he was
mm-hmm.
2 years ago.
Right.
And so it's really a rare thing for a career to go up, 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 down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes then it'll come back, but down, down, and now come back. So that's why I don't know what to believe in terms of what I'm seeing or what I'm more accurately reading about so far.
You know, even if Stan Bowman were able to piece together a roster that was good enough to get them into the playoffs, maybe a 4 or 5 seed, if an in-season acquisition does not include a goaltender better than the free agent they signed in the offseason, Cam Ward, because of Corey Crawford's continued absence, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They need a goaltender on whom they can rely.
Well, I'm with you entirely. That's the only full period that I've watched main screen with sound. Like you, it's been on the top TV for a bit, and then I flipped over to it with sound for the overtime game the other night. For the overtime of the game the other night, it matched up with halftime of the football game. But the only period that I've watched fully start to finish with sound was when Cam Ward allowed 3 goals.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. He looked horrible. And it's just Corey Crawford. He says he's close. He's working out. It's better. They've admitted that it was concussions, but no real discernible reason for optimism.
I can't see why I don't know. It's a broken record. I've said this before, it's the same thing. Why in the world, if it's taken this long and you're having these kind of complications, isn't even a consideration? You got nothing left to prove. Nothing. If I were a family member, I would be trying to implore him at every opportunity to preserve his health and his life and walk away from hockey. I would.
I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. Texters write in.
Mikko Koivu. Yeah, did I give him Saku? Sako? Sako Koivu? You know those Koivus. You can't keep a Koivu down.
That's what I always say.
I had the wrong one. Yeah, it's kind of like the Bailey brothers.
Sorry, Tanny, I do.
I always happen to say that as well.
Texter writes in, this has become Seinfeld, a show about nothing. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, as long as you come show up for nothing every day, we'll serve you a big plate of nothing.
Yeah,
maybe you'll smile a little bit more along the way.
That's the whole goal.
Would the Polish prince, and I'm not talking about Jay Zawoski, do anything for you? Bobby Vinton? I have stumbled upon his number in Mitch's little black book.
One night, Bobby Vinton bought us champagne.
Wait a minute.
Somebody got it.
I mean, those guys are cracking up. I'm Googling Bobby Vinton and the Polish Prince.
He was in Goodfellas.
I know. Okay. I know.
I just quoted Goodfellas.
Okay. Yeah. It was. I know. Yeah. I wanted to know more about. Okay. Yes. It would do a lot for us. I would love any number that you can get from that book that.
Boy, I don't want to talk to Bobby.
You don't want to talk to Bobby.
I really don't.
You don't? All right, well, then you're...
Sure. Sure. I'll go along with it.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, that...
Why not?
With that endorsement...
Yeah, right.
With that type of support, I can't see how it fails.
We also have the Pizza Hut for Moscow for some reason in this book, so if you'd prefer I call that.
What?
You know what's scary? Mitch will probably know the area code for Moscow.
So is that how he knows and you guys know every area code? Just from... Cold calling and booking guests?
Yeah, we didn't have the benefit of contacts. We didn't have the internet. So for years, guys who produced radio shows had to remember, you know, cities' area codes. So,
Philly.
215.
Albuquerque.
That one I don't know.
Madison.
608.
Miami.
305.
Dallas.
214.
San Antonio.
I think 512.
Guys, I'm having flashbacks here. I got to step
in. Yeah, he wants out of this. 512 is Austin. I don't know if it also goes to San Antonio.
When I was only 24 and got to go to the Stanley Cup Finals with
his
the
nightmare.
Hawks and Flyers and sat with Mitch and sat with Mac for 3 days or so, this is what they did literally the entire time they weren't on the air.
Yeah.
Was go over area codes for, I mean, huge markets, small markets, every damn market across North America. And I thought about, I don't know, I just thought about jumping in the river and never coming up for air.
Okay. There. We can stop it. We can get back to the black book and the ridiculous.
Right. Why don't you dial one of those?
Yeah.
Get your effing fingers busy and dial one. Pick one, Shep.
Hates Bill Murray. Just complaining about stuff. We'll call another number, and we have some ridiculous audio from the baseball last night before a Mark Grody Bears report at 3 on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tell me how they find him so fast. I'm embarrassed. I still don't believe he was a cop. I don't believe it.
The cops are saying he's a cop, so I won't look for the cop. Are you soft, Fitz?
When I tell you to dump a body in the marsh, you dump him in the marsh. Not where some guy from John Hancock goes every Thursday to get a... Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
Boston.
Best collection of movies of any city? Or does New York just have an unfair advantage?
New York has, it seems like in the 21st century, Boston has had it's been appealing for the movie industry. A ton has come out of Boston, probably going back 97 with Good Will Hunting, but so much followed. I mean, you're The Departed, you've got The Town, we've got Ted 1 and 2, and upcoming Ted 3.
Hopefully.
Black Mass?
Don't jinx it.
You need to see Black Mass.
All right, I'll get on it. I just heard it was awful,
It's not awful.
Okay, I was dissuaded by some of the reviews.
I liked it better the second time, the third time even more, and now I'm a student of Black Mass. I've watched Joel Edgerton, who I was trying to give his name the other day, when we were talking about that MMA movie, the wrestler, it was Joel Edgerton. I gave Brendan Conlon, that's the character he played in that movie. Joel Edgerton was in that, and he's in Black Mass, and he is terrific. Johnny Depp takes some getting used to. Physically, you don't believe it's Johnny Depp. He doesn't look like him at all, and that takes an adjustment. It really does.
Sure.
I was not high in that movie when I saw it just the one time. I thought it had one of the best ensemble casts, especially of recent memory. But maybe after a second viewing, I'll cozy up to it a little bit more.
I think you might.
I'll give it a first spin.
Adam Scott has a piece of it. Kevin Bacon is in it. I mean, you can't have a movie without Kevin Bacon or Kevin Hart. You got to find a Kevin.
Of course.
Benedict Cumberbatch is
in
it.
Yes, Benedict Cumberbatch.
I mean, I remember thinking like, this movie should be right up my alley. Organized crime, Boston, great cast.
Yes,
I think you'll like it.
It's violent and dark, and
that's fine.
You'll like it because you go that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, a Mark Grody Bears report at 3:00. Khalil Mack spoke, Mitch Trubisky spoke, Matt Nagy spoke. You'll hear from all of them. But we played the Boston clip because Boston wins last night. So Shep has 2 of the 4 in his Speedo down Michigan Avenue promoting the show bet. He has Houston and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
The field is Boston and the Brewers. So if the Red Sox or Brewers win, Shep loses his preseason wager. But a lot came out of last night's game. There was trolling and celebrations and trash talk, and CeCe Sabathia went at Angel Hernandez, who had a real rough series. Can we start there? I want to hear what CeCe Sabathia, losing pitcher last night, struggled in the third inning, had to say about the home plate blue.
I don't think Angel Hernandez should be umping playoff games. He's absolutely terrible. He's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base. It's amazing that how he's getting a job to pitch and to play to umpire in these playoff games.
What did you say to him in the first inning?
Yeah. That's just a conversation for us, but he shouldn't be anywhere near a playoff game.
Is that sentiment shared by many of your teammates?
Everybody, I think.
Everybody.
I think if you go ask them on the other side, too.
CeCe, was his strike zone tonight?
It's always. It's always. He's bad. I don't understand why he's doing these games.
That is strong and real sour grapes.
Yeah, it is. It sounds small.
Yeah. And like, listen, Angel Hernandez has a horrible reputation within the game and is suing Major League Baseball for discrimination. Like, Jeff Passan ethered him in a recent column. He blew the calls at first base. It's not like Angel Hernandez, like, he deserves the reputation he has. But from all accounts last night and the StatCast stuff after the game, his strike zone was perfectly reasonable.
Why does baseball continue to entrust playoff games to him if he is so universally regarded as garbage?
I assume seniority?
It's performance-based, isn't it? I know in my game, it's performance-based. In the NFL, guys who work NFL playoff games or conference championships, the Super Bowl, are scored throughout the season. And there has to be some tenure. You have to be an official for 5 years to get a Super Bowl. Look for Craig Rolstad, number 4, to be getting his first assignment with Roman numerals sometime very soon.
I always do. I'm always on the lookout for him. Do
we and another blown call by Hernandez.
There is that.
Angel Hernandez.
Do we have anyone on Boston's side talking about good old...
They did ask the other side how they felt about it.
What a coincidence.
Baseball was happy with the strike zone, and he said as much after the game. What were your thoughts of facing the same zone?
Hey, throw the ball over the place, CC. I thought Angel Hernandez called a good game. You got to put the ball over the white part of the plate, and then you get strikes called. So that's all I got to say about that.
Is that Porcello?
The white part of the plate.
That is strong.
Mm-hmm.
That is real strong. And they were doing a lot of trolling. They were all talking about how sweet it was to beat New York and the rivalry and all that. And they were the music in their locker room after the game meant a little something extra to beat the Yankees. You know I'm here for the petty, Mac.
Yes, you like trash talking.
How is that? How does that not make it more fun?
Well, I'm sure if I were a participant, it would be a blast. Sure,
right?
Well, it adds to it after the Judge thing the other day too.
Right, Aaron Judge played his song over at Fenway, and they were talking about coming in there. And it's, when rivals meet in a postseason series, it should carry a little something extra.
Well, and we finally got a rivalry about 15 years ago in this series. It was always regarded as a great rivalry, even though it wasn't.
Correct.
Because one team always kicked the other's ass. Now it's a rivalry. The Red Sox knocking on the door of another title.
Right, before it was geographic convenience.
Right.
And
dislike,
a division.
Familiarity. It's like saying we're great rivals with the Sox and Tigers because they've been in the same division.
And if you have a Yankee fan friend, and I have many of them because I went to school, but if you have a Yankee fan friend who quotes 27, like, oh, scoreboard, we've got 27 World Series, shut up. And Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, like that doesn't matter for the modern era of baseball, all the titles you won in the 1920s.
I'm glad you said that. I've been meaning to ask you this all baseball season because some of our conversations have led me to want to know how you'll respond to this because I have an answer to the question. When do you regard baseball to be at its beginning? When it started? When all of the records to you and all of the conversation, when does it begin for you?
See, I don't.
I have a year.
So, are you doing when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier?
1947 is the year baseball started in my mind.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But like, I don't think that means that Mickey Mantle wasn't a great player or Babe Ruth wasn't a great player. So,
well, Mantle played after that. Yeah,
yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, just like the era,
correct?
Like the 1927, whatever. Like, I don't think that is the type of thing that means those guys didn't exist. So,
right.
I don't know if I have a hard and fast rule like that. But it's hard for me to be like, man, the 1927 Murderers Row Yankees.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why, if I'm a 32-year-old Yankee fan living in Brooklyn, that gives me a lot of pride. Like, that's a weird pride of the Yankees. Yeah. Really? Roger Maris?
Like, right.
That's a weird thing. It doesn't mean anything to you.
Yeah, well, you know, Bears fans growing up around here had nothing to chirp about either for a long time.
That's why if you're like, my buddies don't revere 1985.
Of course not.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know a lot of guys your age, and even some guys I know a little bit older than you are, would love to see all the 85 Bears go away.
See, it doesn't bother me like that.
No.
It's just, I don't relate to it, so it's not really that special either. Yeah. I loved the 30 for 30 in the documentary, and I loved reading about what it meant to the city, but in terms of me personally, it doesn't do much for me.
I hated the 30 for 30, but loved the 85 Bears, and that's when I was a first-year producer in this market. So I was like Kevin Butler. I was a rookie in 1985, so... Yeah, I always will love that, but I get it. And the 85 Bears have become what they couldn't stand. They had the 63 Bears shoved down their throats.
Yeah.
Ditka and Obradovich. And
but when those guys are getting the checks, they're not going to complain about
correct.
It. Correct. Right? Because it keeps them relevant and employed.
Absolutely.
And all those
keep
sort of
your
things.
Name off the police blotter and semi-construct a sentence, and someone will hire you to be an analyst.
Semi-construct.
Yeah. Got a guy who's not putting sentences together very well. I want to talk about a little bit later on in the birthday segment.
We'll do it. Can't do it at 4 o'clock. Get your questions ready. A Bears report with Mark Grody next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.